Now he goes on in verse 2 of chapter 5 to talk about the fact that they are free also from the Torah, from the law. Listen, I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, in other words, if you let this Jewish Christian group persuade you to become a Jew, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I testify to everyone who lets himself be circumcised, he is obliged to obey the entire law. If you want to become a Jew, become a Jew, but you must follow the whole Torah. And he's already said, hasn't he, back in chapter 3, how there's a curse in the law for anyone who doesn't obey every part of the law. Do you remember he made that point? You who want to be justified by the law have cut yourself off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, I'm going to stop now and in a minute and go through a meditation with you on this, because I want to show you in these next two verses, notice faith, hope and love all in the one passage. Listen for it as I say it. Through the Spirit, by faith, we studied faith last week, I'll take it as read, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. They're not relevant, whether you're a Jew or a non-Jew, whether you're a male Jew who's circumcised or a male Greek who's not circumcised, is of absolutely nothing, no point. It counts for nothing. Here, look at this line, you must underline it or put it above your shower curtain or something. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. And that could take us, I won't go into it now, into that debate that used to go on, it's finished in academic circles, but not in the ordinary parishes, I don't think, everywhere. That debate that used to go on between faith alone and faith and works, remember? Well, here's Paul's statement, and it's beautiful. The only faith that matters is faith that does show itself in works. Works of love. The debate missed because some were arguing about works of the law. Paul's not talking about works of the law, he's talking about works of love. So faith must show itself in love or it's unreal. Or as James says, it's dead. So here it is, faith working through love. Let me now spend a little time with you talking about, reflecting on the hope, firstly. What is hope as a Christian virtue? And then what is love? And then we'll take a break, okay? Hope. What is hope as a Christian virtue? Very interesting area for study, and this was what I discovered when I studied it at some depth. The word hope, the Greek is elpis, you don't have to know that, but that's the fact of it, actually translates quite different words in certain parts of the Old Testament scriptures. So it obviously shifts its meaning fairly dramatically. And this is going to be quite important for our understanding of hope. In non-biblical Greek, so that is not the Old Testament Greek, but ordinary Greek, elpis, I'll say hope, but I'm talking about the Greek word, you get me? The word Paul uses, means an estimation or expectation. It's an intelligent application of the mind saying you better be careful, look at what you expect, how do you estimate things, be reasonable, all of that kind of thing. The focus is on the importance of having a sound basis for one's estimation, judgment, about what the future might hold. So hope in the Greek world generally means regarding the future, but having a basis for your expectation, not just cloud in the sky, wishful thinking, make-believe, you know, I hope this will happen, but there's no reason for it. They say, no, you've got to be reasonable about what you're hoping for and what you expect to happen. Is that all right? The Greek Old Testament, the later parts of the Old Testament, the wisdom literature, which is very influenced, of course, by Hellenistic Greek, also often means that. So often in the wisdom literature, it's the same meaning as the Greek world, which is what you'd expect. But, now I make my key point, when you go back to the Psalms, and I'll quote one in a moment, and the prophets, the older literature, where the Greek is translating from the Hebrew, rather than just creating literature from its own language, the Greek Old Testament has a different meaning. Elpis means trust. It keeps, I said to you last week, do you remember the word for faith never translates words of trust in the Hebrew? Pistis in Greek. Never translates trust. It translates emuna or emet or words about reality. On the contrary, words of trust in the Hebrew Bible are frequently translated by elpis. We've got to do something about that. So the focus of trust, of elpis, of hope, in the bulk of the Old Testament ancient poetic literature is on present trust in God, and so on leaving the future in God's hands. This is appropriate because of what God has done and because of what God has promised to do. Let me try to explain that. It's actually a beautiful concept if I can communicate it to you. I used to think of hope meaning looking forward to something in the future, hoping for heaven, hoping for what was going to happen tomorrow. In the older Old Testament biblical usage, and I'll come to the New Testament in a moment, it didn't mean that at all. Hope meant, and just watch for this, and I hope it comes across to you clearly, hope was, I've only got the present moment. The present is all we have. Hope is so trusting in God now that I'm not worried about the future. The future is left. The future is left in God's hands. It's not the same as expecting for the future. It's not anticipating the future. It's leaving the future in the hands of one who loves me and trusting now to not be frightened by what tomorrow might bring. Do you see the difference? So that's hope, as you'll find. I'll show you a Solomon. So in the New Testament, what do we find? In the New Testament, we find both those thoughts together. In the New Testament, hope is related to the future. So it's picked up the Greek idea. It is related to the future, but I think this is a good way to define hope. It's trusting confidence now in regard to the future, based on our faith in God. So it's a present, and this is what it picks up from the old Hebrew, a trust in God now that enables me to know that what God has promised will come. Heaven is yours, is mine. All the promises of God will be fulfilled because of who God is. So I can now focus now on love. An example might be the best thing to do. Here's a lovely, beautiful psalm which picks this up, and I'll finish with this. It's Psalm 131 in the Hebrew. In the old Greek translation, it's Psalm 130 because of the different numbering. And you know this psalm, so I'll read it for you. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, meaning proud, or my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great or too marvelous for me. I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope, there it is, it's the verb from Elpizo, hope in the Lord from this time on forever. Let me spend a minute with you going through that psalm again. The psalmist is talking to him or herself. So you mothers who've had children know what a weaned child. So we're talking about a two-year-old. Terrible twos, is that still the way it is? So this little child's full of energy but really frightened to death too and needs mum. So the child is scared, that's the image, a little child that's scared runs to the mother and hangs on to her for whatever reason. And what the author is saying, it's not likening God to a mother. The author is saying, I'm scared too. I'm an adult and I'm scared. But I've calmed my soul. I've talked to myself, like the way we have to talk to ourselves when we're scared. I've talked to myself the way a mother talks to a two-year-old. And I've calmed my soul the way I, as a mother, calm a little two-year-old who comes to me. And I'm calming my soul, why? With my faith, by knowing who God is. I'm hoping in the Lord. Hoping, you can say trusting in the Lord. I'm putting my trust in the Lord, so the future, perhaps, or the present that scares me, no, I just go back to this, and I put my trust in God who loves me, and so I've calmed my soul the way a mother calms a two-year-old. Hope is that calm, trusting in God now and trusting that God's promises will be fulfilled. What God has said, I will be with you always, God will be with me always. Whatever he says, don't think of words when they come to you, etc. I will give you the words, I will give you my spirit, trust that. Just do the truth in love, as Paul says. By the virtue of hope.